Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is back, and we're bringing end-of-summer deals right to your doorstep. Now through September 3rd, score up to 70% off all things home. Get in on low prices while temperatures are still high, like up to 70% off rugs, up to 50% off bedroom furniture, up to 50% off dining furniture, and up to 60% off living room seating. And the savings don't stop there. End summer with can't-miss surprise flash deals, all with fast shipping right to your doorstep. Save big on everything you need with every style for every home for every budget. Modern? Check. Classic? Check. Coastal grandma with a hint of boho glam? Check and check. Wayfair's got everything you need to make your home way more you. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 3rd for up to 70% off. Because at Wayfair, new season means new savings.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey there, friends. Before we get the show started today, I just wanted to drop a quick note to let you know that when we recorded this show, it ran a little bit long. It ran for about 2 hours. That full 2 hour version of the show, you can view it in video on patreon.com, only if you're a patron. And also, this full audio show that's 2 hours long will also be an exclusive to both Patreon and also Red Circle, the exclusive feed that you can also become a member there as well. And so I invite you to do that. Links will be there in the show notes. But for you, the regular listeners, I still have a fantastic version of the show. Just know that I'm editing and cutting it down so you get a shorter version of the show. So if you would like the longer version of this show, this is a great time to become an exclusive member on Red Circle or become a patron on Patreon if you would like to see video of Eric and I with the long, fun conversation that we had here on his return. So without further ado, let's just start the show.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Did y'all miss me? I know it's been a couple of weeks. I'm sorry. It just kind of worked that way. I am back. Okay, but if anyone's going to say something about me being gone for a long time, have I got a treat for you? Because being gone even longer than I have. See if you recognize this voice. Say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Y'all know who that is, right? All right, so the longtime people
no
are going to know.
Who that is.
The longtime people are going to know who that is. That's old Lost Boy Eric. He's still alive.
I am.
We barely got a chance to talk to you around like since COVID because like schedule things got kind of weird. And I mean, life has been kind of zonky for both of us, I guess, since then. And you've lost a job, got a different job, came back to that job apparently. And hopefully your schedule's back normal. It'd be nice to have you back on like a regular because I'm funnier with it when people who are funnier than me are on the show because you're funnier than I am. So...
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear someone thinks I'm funny.
I got more compliments about how funny the show is when you were on than when I am just by myself. I laugh at my own jokes, but nobody else does. But we got a pretty fun show today. This is all based off of a website. Oh, actually, I heard something on a Love Thy Nerd podcast where they went through a list of the most iconic video game characters of all time. And it's funny who put this list together and how it turned out. And they were talking about it. It's like, this list doesn't seem to match anybody that I would put on here at all. So I thought, let me ask you all, the listeners, on our Facebook group. I put out a list, and I put a few characters on there and said, if you have a character not on here, put your favorite on there. I didn't limit the voting. So if, like, if you want to vote for more than one, you can. And so I was putting it out there. Let's find out what everybody else says is their favorite or they feel is the most iconic video game character. And we are going to share those results with you later in the show. It's going to be a hoot and a holler, and we're going to holler and hoot because sometimes we didn't like the results. I'm a little not entirely surprised by the results, but there's one result that breaks my heart. But we'll get to that later. But our normal things that we do. Oh, by the way, Those of you who are Patreon subscribers will get to see videos, so you can actually see how Eric is looking good and healthy this year, and he's back. And he's sitting in the Millennium Falcon right now. So, I mean, I'm just sitting here in my studio with my toys. And he's like sitting there, I think. Well, no, I guess Han would be sitting over there working on whatever stuff over there, and the game table's behind you. But he's sitting on the
star table's over here or over there.
Yeah. It's hard to tell when you're like pointing to the left and the right. So, and that's a joke that doesn't make sense to anybody who is only hearing audio. So become a patron so you can get video. Plus, you'll get your own exclusive feed. You don't get any of the ads. You can also become an exclusive member through Red Circle. Find that all in the show notes. And you can also get rid of all the ads that I put in the show because I have to pay for the show somehow. But I'm going to dive in. You know, I feel like I haven't done this in a long time. It's like, what do I ask first? Yes, that's what I'll ask first. We like to, of course, start off that by asking, what have you been watching? And I feel like I don't get to watch a lot of TV. I sit around, I watch YouTube all the time. I finally decided I've been meaning to watch The Chosen for 4 years now, because I guess they're on the fourth season. And I finally sat there. I binged my way through the first season. I'm about 3 episodes in on season 2 now. Loving it. Very good stuff. Especially getting... I like the way that it's about Jesus, but it's not about Jesus. It's about all the people he interacts with and about the disciples. And it gets inventive because we don't know everything about these people. So they kind of invent backstories. And there's frequent episodes where you're like, we see this person at their lowest and this person, how bad things are. And then Jesus shows up. And this is what when my wife's sitting there watching with me. This is stuff that makes my wife cry. It's like when Jesus shows up and heals somebody or just says the right thing or like even the first episode when he shows up and the demons have been cast out and we see lives change when Jesus shows up, she's just a mess. So, I get excited because I sit there a lot of the episodes like, and then Jesus shows up now, when is he coming? It's like, it's always on his time, not mine. So it's like watching real life. It's very relatable. I'm very much enjoying the show. So looking forward to get caught up with season 4. Also, because it's all on Peacock. So that's where I've been watching. And I think they also did a, not really like Christmas special, but they did a thing in theaters where they went and told the Christmas story in universe or whatever, I guess you'd call it. And I'm looking forward to getting a chance to check that out. I'll watch it this Christmas. It'll be a good thing because I've been holding off on watching that too. So, but yeah, I've been definitely enjoying that. You been watching anything special?
You know, I actually just finished a marathon run of Young Sheldon.
I still have yet to watch that.
I've watched The Big Bang Theory multiple times, and of course, Young Sheldon is a prequel to The Big Bang Theory. So, of course, there's a lot of callbacks and references, and you get to see where things come up, such as the first time he hears the Soft Kitty song. There's some wonderful callbacks to the other characters in The Big Bang Theory at the end of season 2. You know, Kaylee Cuoco does a cameo as a pool of water. I know that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Sheldon has to go swimming, and the thing that's tempting him to get into the water is the voice of Penny. but it's interesting watching him on his journey from being this, incredibly bright, smart young man who, thinks he has his life all figured out, and seeing, how his family reacted to all of that and, what happened with them. And I'll admit it's, not always the most ideal family to look up to. They're not the Cleavers. Certainly, everyone has their own faults, but that's all of us. We all have our own faults. We all have our own areas where we each need to grow and to learn. And so, this show, it's a great opportunity to, if you like The Big Bang Theory, it's a great way to get into, see just how Sheldon is, what his relationship with his parents were and his brother and sister and his Meemaw. I absolutely love Annie Potts as Meemaw. She is feisty, irascible. And then you get, people like Wallace Shawn in this series and Ed Begley Jr. And I'm blanking out on his name, Craig T. Nelson.
Oh, my goodness.
All have significant roles within this show. So it's interesting seeing just who, what these characters are, how Sheldon pulls them all into his circle and how they react and bounce off of him and how he bounces off of them. So, you know, a lot of fun. I just, like I said, just finished a marathon of all of the seasons, trying to decide what I want to try next. My wife is starting to watch Gunsmoke, and we actually are have started watching the first season of Little House on the Prairie. So everything with, you know, I'm surprised by the, while she's there, there's not a significant influence of Nellie Olson in this first season so far.
I'm not sure which one Nellie Olson
really
was.
Surprised me. Nellie Olson was the brat. She was the daughter of the store owner.
Okay.
Yes.
So I don't think I've ever really watched much of the show. I remember going through some of the books in school. We read them as a class. We read, I think, Farm Boy, and then we read Little House, the House in the Big Woods, and then we read Little House on the Prairie. And then we went through Farm Boy, which is about her husband when as his childhood. I couldn't tell you what happens in any of those books other than pioneer life, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, my afternoons after school growing up, you know, we would come home and, you know, you have your afternoon TV. So, you know, it would be first be a block of Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
And then there would be The Muppet Show. And then there would be a Little House on the Prairie. And I was sitting there to myself as I was watching Little House on the Prairie. That night I had fell asleep watching The Muppet Show, and I'd been watching the new MeTV tunes when they were showing Tom and Jerry. I said, you know, what's happened? I was doing this 40 years ago.
And we're back. Yeah. The MeTunes TV, unfortunately, is running out of Lawrence, Kansas. It is over an hour of drive away, and I can't reach it with my antenna. So I'm trying to figure out, do I want to pay $6.99 to get the Friendly app and stream it? But the only channel I would want on there would be the MeTV Tunes, because the rest is like the Game Show Network, which I might watch. But the rest is the Hallmark Network, which I'm not going to watch. I'm like, do I really want to pay $7 for one channel? Granted, I'd sit there and I'd probably just watch it all the time. Especially the antenna we were watching while we were having breakfast today. We were watching... I think we saw like the tail end of Jeff Corwin, and then we like to watch Jack Hanna. You know, I married a biology teacher. This is what happens. We watch animals. But while flipping through, I noticed the channel, because I programmed in the channel where MeTV Tunes is supposed to be. So if it ever shows up, it did actually pull up that Underdog was on, but it would not pull up the show. But it would tell me Underdog was on. I was like, I want to watch Underdog. I love Underdog. So maybe eventually.
Fortunately. Yeah. Well, you know, on the flip side, you know, I have invested pretty heavily in my physical media collection, and Underdog and Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Nice.
And, you know, all of the Walt Disney Treasures and the Looney Tunes. What series is it? I think it's the Golden Collection. I've been able to upload onto my personal home media server. So anytime I want to watch one of these older shows or particular shorts, all I have to do is just pull them up on my TV and watch them anytime I want to without having to worry about scheduling or having to track down what disc and where in the world did I put that DVD case to watch.
I was trying to get ahead of the game on my Plex server, but the library up here puts, of course, security on their DVDs, you know, because they don't want someone stealing
it.
I can't, with their security, I cannot get them to spin in my computer, so I can't get the video off to put them on my server. So like, okay, but when that happens, when it doesn't play on my computer, it makes me nervous to put it actually in my Blu-ray player, because, well, what if it's going to cause problems there? And I was like, if that breaks my Blu-ray player, there's a lot of movies I can't watch until I buy a new one. So I'm like, I was checking stuff out of the library. I even was, you know, all the missing, the X-Men animated series. Because I don't have I think I'm two discs short of having that complete set. I went and got those. I got all the discs I was missing from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I went and checked them all out at the library. I said, cool, let me get these onto my Plex server so I can just sit and watch them. Oh no, would not play in the computer. Could not make copies of the video to be able to put onto my Plex server. So I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to even watch them off the discs right now. So I'm like, I'll just take these back to the library because I don't want them breaking any of my stuff because I'm poor. And I don't need to break it. I say I'm poor, but then I was just telling Eric about all the money I've now put into these my seven Aerith figures, but that's money I'm now in debt to. I have my own personal credit card that I pay off with my own fund money. For those of you who do the Dave Ramsey thing, you understand the fund money that my wife gets some and I get some every time I get paid. And that's where my card enabled me to get a little bit ahead of the game so I could get stuff on eBay. And I got stuff cheaper than it would have been if I bought it directly off of market. But yeah, now I got to slowly, my money goes into paying that off. So, but that does want to remind you all that if you enjoyed Philip and I talking over Batman, we are working. It'll probably be I might put a few episodes here, but I'll probably be a completely new podcast. And occasionally on YouTube, we're going to start watching movies and talking over them. And I'm looking to buy some lapel mics. It'll be the same kit that I use at KQTV up in St. Joseph, Missouri. It's like $150 set, and it's two lapel mics with one receiver, and I can plug it right into my recorder here. So that way I don't have to set up microphones and everything. We'll just have a microphone attached to our lapel and we can sit there and watch movies and we'll get that going. But I have to set aside enough money to buy those. So it'll be just a little bit of time and I'll have that all set up and hopefully y'all will enjoy it as much as we had. We had fun talking over Batman, had a good time. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it. Hopefully some of you got to watch along with us. So if you watched with us, send me an email. Let me know that, hey, that was fun. So I hope y'all enjoyed
and
that.
If you listen to it, you will learn what the connection is between Batman and A New Hope.
There you go. Yeah, and Indiana Jones. And, oh, there was something else that I was watching this week that I was like, oh, yeah, there's the guy again. I think it was another Spielberg movie. I know I watched some stuff about Jaws this week. I thought I watched the Lego Jaws, and I think I shared it to the Facebook group. But I remember seeing that guy somewhere else. I think might have been Jaws because I think he did a lot of stuff with Spielberg and then did some things with Tim Burton after that, too. I remember watching something about Pee Wee Herman this week. Maybe I saw him pop. Maybe he had a little bit thing in a Pee Wee Herman movie and I forgot about it. Because like with Tim Burton doing stuff, or maybe it was he didn't show up in Beetlejuice at all. But yeah, there was something else. I think it was another Spielberg thing. Golly. But yeah, that guy they loved using him for just little small things. So, but yeah, you'll if you listen to the episode, and if you haven't listened to it, go get it and watch with us. I tried to cue everything and tell you exactly where we were. I was having trouble. Because we were watching it off my Vudu account and I was trying to get it to pause there at the beginning of the movie. And I guess I needed to double press because we were using my PlayStation. And I guess you need to double press one to activate a cursor, the second one to actually tell it to pause. And I didn't get it to work until it was about 13 seconds in. So I told everybody, all right, 13 seconds and I'm starting to hit play now. So that's what was going on at the beginning of that. But hopefully y'all kind of caught up with us and watched along. I was hoping it was a fun idea. I had fun doing it. Like I said, I hope you all had fun listening and at least hopefully watching along because that's the idea. But we plan to do more of those. But it's enough about what we're watching. So what have you been playing? And so this week, I will honestly now fully admit Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Hard Mode has defeated me.
Yay. Oh, wait. I was about to hear you say that you had defeated it.
No,
that
it defeated me.
That does not deserve
me.
A yay.
Because of course, when you complete it, you get a chapter select, and the hard mode on this one has been a lot more difficult than it was for Remake. Remake, I got through hard mode after because I went through, I played it through a normal difficulty, and I thought, well, all right, now I just want to level everything up, so let me play it through on easy, and I did that one, and then I was like, okay, now let's attack hard mode, that everybody's maxed out, and I went after hard mode maxed out. Rebirth, I thought, okay, let me do the same thing. I played it through on normal. Played it through on easy just to kind of make sure everybody's leveled up, but not all of my materia is leveled up because there's a lot more materia. And I had one chapter. For those of you familiar with the original game, I don't feel I'm spoiling anything, but there's a fight it's a solo fight between Barrett and his former best friend Dine. Could not beat Dine on hard mode. So I thought, okay, chapter select, let's move on to the next chapter. Because by completing them on hard mode, you're unlocking different stuff to make your character stronger as you go. So I thought, as we go along, maybe I'll come back to it sometime and I'll beat it and I'll get the achievement for it. But then I hit another chapter, final boss on it. And I was afraid of it because it's one of those times, anytime I have less than three characters that I'm able to use in the party, that's when things go wrong. And there's a massive boss fight that you only get to have Barrett and Red 13. Got slaughtered like 10 times. And I said, okay, I can't do this one. Next chapter. Very next chapter, same problem, because you have a section where you get, for those of you that you know, I had nothing but Kate Sith at a certain point at this level. He is pathetic. And I wasn't even out of boss character. It was just like, it's a very difficult enemy that you have to fight these things. There's things called arbiters that if you pressure them with magic, then you can't use magic on them anymore. They're immune. If you pressure them with physical attacks, then you can't use physical attacks on them anymore. And they give you at one point, and I managed to sneak my way past where there's one of them in the room, and I got around him. I didn't fight it. But then the next one, there's two of them, and you cannot get around of it. And if you pick a fight with one of them, you pick a fight with both of them. And after 10 times with that one, I was like, okay, skip. So there was two chapters in a row that I didn't do. Now, granted, I did jump into the very next chapter and like, okay, well, there's side quests I haven't done on hard mode, because when you do some of the side quests on hard mode, it unlocks for those who maybe played Remake. You know, you'd have like your upgrade points you'd have, and you'd have like a Book of Swordplay or whatever you'd get. And it would give you to where you could use points to upgrade stuff on your weapons. They do a similar thing like that in Rebirth, where they call it folios. And you basically, you're unlocking new moves or increasing your abilities by maybe giving you more MP, more HP, unlocking new limit breaks, which I did just got an achievement for. I've unlocked all the limit breaks now. But you can make your characters more powerful. And I thought, okay, well, if I make the characters more powerful, it might make it easier for me to do some of these other ones. So I did hop ahead to another chapter. I'm like, okay, there's a whole lot of side quests I didn't get to clean up because I didn't get through these chapters. Let me go back, and I'm going to do all these side quests, and we'll see. And I'm trying to get everybody's relationship level maxed out, which I think I'll have gotten everybody except for Tifa and Aerith, the two major ones you'd think Cloud would have to have a good, strong relationship with. But I've gotten them both up to like 99%, not that 100%, because there's a side mission that you have to get perfect while doing the side mission. You can come back and play that mini game again, and I've done these mini games all perfectly, but I haven't done it while Tifa or Aerith were with me during that particular event side mission. So I've failed those. So I'm gonna have to come back, and I'll just put a save point before that side quest, that particular part of the side quest, do it again. Okay, didn't do it, load that save, do it again, didn't do it, load that save, you know, and I'll do it and do it until I get it right. So, but there's no achievement for getting perfect relationships with everybody. I just want to do it just because I'm having fun with it. But I'm starting to branch out now. Now, granted, I think I said even long before when I got this one that I had bought in Final Fantasy 16, and I was like, ooh, that's next on my list. I got to do that one next. But I got sidetracked, and I don't remember what it was. I started playing side. I went back to Kingdom Hearts for a little bit, but I've recently started playing Final Fantasy 14, which is an online, and I'm having a lot of fun with that. Now, I know in the show notes I have stuff to come play City of Heroes with me, but I haven't touched City of Heroes since I started playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and that's been months. But if you all want to play online with me on Final Fantasy XIV, I think you do have to be on the same server. I'm on an Exodus server, and of course, my character is named Spider-Pan Neverlander. So you should be able to find me. I made a mistake. I saw the description of Conjurer, and it says you're supposed to be using the elements, and I always like that. I like to be able to call down the thunder, literally, on people. Well, it turns out that's actually a healer. So the only real attack I have is I can conjure a rock and throw it at stuff, but most of my stuff is like heal, cure poison, heal, resurrect. Most of my powers are that, and I'm not playing with a group of people where that is being useful, because I haven't really grouped with any strangers, and I don't really do that, but maybe I should. I need people to come and play with. So if anybody wants to come play with me, come and find me. So, but I'm having a lot of fun. I mean, I haven't played anything that's like since EverQuest 2, World of Warcraft, I used to play a little bit. And this is kind of like that, except for I'm already paying for my subscription to PlayStation, which gets me in. I just had to, I noticed the game was on sale. So I was like, okay, let me go ahead and get the game. Because I think they were doing a sale because they just released another expansion, Dawn Trail, for it. And it's basically like a whole new story. And what I'm enjoying about this over anything like World of Warcraft is there's a story, which I think World of Warcraft was supposed to have a story that you could find. I never found it. But on this, it tells you the main story is up over here, but you can still do all these little side stories. But you have a main story that your character can go through and experience a typical kind of Final Fantasy adventure. And after you're finished with that adventure, oh, hey, there's like three or four other stories just waiting for me to come and play. So I'm having some fun with it. After I finish the first story, I'm going to go. I want to play 16 because an expansion even just came out for that. So I'll play 16. But I'm just playing everything Final Fantasy right now and having a ball. That, and I started even playing, I got bored on my phone. I started playing Hearthstone again, which was an old, speaking of World of Warcraft, it's in that world and it's a card game. I think I just got having too much fun playing the card game inside Rebirth. There's Queen's Blood, and I just absolutely love Queen's Blood. It's a lot of fun to play. So I actually, even though I've completely beaten that entire thing in the game, I still like, oh, here's a Queensland player. I know I've already defeated you, but I'm going to come and defeat you again just because I have fun. And I've noticed on hard mode, their decks are a little bit more sophisticated and they're harder to beat. So I was like, oh, it's like a fresh challenge. So yeah, I'm having a good old time still doing that. Yay, Earth. Okay, I'm So for anyone who's got the video, which I accidentally started the video late. I didn't realize I hadn't hit record on there. But we are recording. Oops, she fell off her stand. So everybody got to see one of my Earth things, which I have a reason why this is on my desk, which we'll get to that later if I can get her back in there. But yeah, you've been playing anything fun?
Let's see. I invested in a MetaQuest 2 last year, and I have been playing Vader Immortal.
Oh.
Where basically you get trapped on Mustafar, and you get enlisted by Darth Vader to go on a quest with him. Ooh. And I, you know, the game itself takes about 3 hours. I'm in the second episode of it, so I'm still trying to find the time. The trouble is, I rarely get to play my MetaQuest because I still have two children who enjoy using whatever form of my equipment they can, whether it's my 12-year-old playing Gorilla Tag on the MetaQuest or my 16-year-old playing anything from Roblox to Among Us on my PlayStation 5. Oh, he's playing Lego Star Wars on my PS5 lately.
Skywalker saga, or I've noticed the original trilogy, the Lego Star Wars 2 is actually available if you have a PlayStation Plus membership. It's available to play now on there. So I told my wife, like, you got to come play this with me. It'll be great.
He's been playing the Skywalker saga,
which is fun.
Yeah. As for me, when I do get a chance to play the PS5, I've been going back and revisiting Arkham Knight. So I recently, you know, found the, well, while I had 3 months all to myself, I went ahead and replayed. Yeah, instead of playing this one game that has something to do with a squad, I don't even remember the title of it. It means that little to me. I instead chose to play other games from Rocksteady that were, you know, a lot more fun to me. And so I played Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, and I'm now on to Arkham Knight.
Nice.
If I ever get a chance to play it again.
Yeah, see, that's the nice thing is the only kids around here are cats. And me. Yes. I think I qualify.
And we, this is going off the subject, but we recently adopted a second cat.
Yeah. The accident, that's how we've gotten like two of our cats is by accident.
Oh, it's the cat distribution system at work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And somehow you've ended up with two black kitties.
Yes, we did.
I never find them for adoption or anything. I want a black kitty.
I guess they just want us.
Yeah, I guess. Just be very careful around Halloween because people go and they like to do bad things to black kitties. And yeah, that's kind of why I want one, because people mistreat them. And I'm like, no, I will protect my black kitty and he will be my black kitty and I will call him Shadow.
Our kitties are full house cats. Even the new stray that we brought in, we're not going to be subjecting her to any of the outside, because here in Arizona at the moment, it is currently 102 degrees, topping out at 110 today. We do not want any of our pets experiencing any of those elements outside.
Yeah, we're actually supposed to be getting we're under a heater advisory in Missouri even now, too, because we're going to top out at about 101. I feel like we're being wimpy compared to you up in Arizona.
But I'm sure
you have a dry
humidity
heat,
is probably higher than ours. Yes.
Yeah. The humidity will crush you around here, but I don't like dry heat either. I've been in the dry heat. I got family in Grand Junction. Well, last time we went there to visit, because once you get to the other side of the Rockies, you start hitting some desert. And we even climbed a mountain on one day and it was hot. And my aunt pointed out, it's like, yeah, when you live in Missouri, you're trying to take moisture out of the air in your house to keep it cool. Here, we're putting the moisture back in to cool the house.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. But it was kind of neat just taking a walk around the neighborhood and seeing everybody's yard is like a rock garden. They just do fancy things with them. Yep. Like, well, that's kind of cool. That's different. Oof. I'm bumping in the microphone. Sorry, y'all. Okay, so that's what we've been watching and doing. But now, guess what time it is? Let's see. I got to make sure I hit the right button this time. I did.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
And that's a really outdated old sounder. I got two sounders I really should replace because this is not Neverland anymore. And we don't cover that much Disney, except for when they do something that we want to pay attention to, which they actually have something today, but not in the news. But I do have in the news, and those of you on the video, now you're getting to see the notes, but everything as news is something because I spend a lot of time on YouTube. Oh, we do have some Disney. You all probably already know about this. We got a release date.
How to open your car door while submerged underwater. A fatal construction flaw in all recent...
This is not one of our ads.
Now, granted, I think
I'm Warren Spector. I'm the creative director on Disney Epic Mickey. And I was pleased when Disney asked me to work with the talented folks at THQ Nordic and Purple Lamp in remastering the game and bringing it back to a new generation of players. Today, I'm delighted to announce that Disney fans of all ages will be able to join Mickey and Oswald in their daring adventure in Wasteland. The adventure begins September 24th, 2024 for PC and console. Not only that, but I'm pleased to announce something special for the ultimate Disney Epic Mickey fan. We're releasing a limited collector's edition available today for pre-order. Here's a sneak peek.
Okay, now generally here, it's mainly just music, but they're showing you they have a really cool Mickey Mouse statue that's for this package. Now, for both Final Fantasy Remake and Rebirth, I did buy specialty packages, cost me $100, and it's Steelbook, I got a miniature soundtrack, and I got an art book for $100. This, it's a statue, it's 28 centimeters, so it's not exceptionally big. It's very cool, but I think it was like $200 if you want this statue. And the only thing worth it to me to get with that special package is the statue. But I'm not paying $200. I say that about not wanting to buy a Mickey Mouse statue at $200. But yet I've spent, you know, over $100 on Aerith figures. But I'm done after buying 7 Aerith figures. I'm done getting expensive figures for a while. So unfortunately, I will not be getting the expensive package. However, the pre-order is available. And as you heard, September 24th. And I never got to finish this game because on the Wii, I just couldn't get that the Wiimote and the motion control. I just couldn't really get the hang of that. And I'd struggled with the boss fights trying to, you want to paint the boss or you want to paint thinner them. And I was preferring to paint them because I wanted to try to make them all my friends. Although the first boss I fought, I think I didn't know that you could paint them and try to make them your friend. I thought I just had to destroy the bosses. So I didn't realize that I could do that. So I get a brand new shot at it as I never finished it on the Wii. So I'm looking forward to get a chance to play Epic Mickey September 24th. And I will pre-order it as soon as I'm done getting the lapel mics. And I'm sure you're wanting to get this too, aren't you?
I am. I had the same issue with the Wii. I just could not get the controls or I couldn't get in sync with the controls, I guess. And I know I made it as far as It's a Small World and had to give up because I just could not make it work. So I'm excited to see, how this works with our current generations. And, if I'm having issues with my good old Switch over here, there's always the PS5 version.
And I figure how it'll work. It'll be similar to like when they did Epic Mickey 2, which I haven't played all the way through because I play with it a little bit, but I was like, I want to play the first one before I do this. But they set it to where, mm-hmm. It does like a third person shooter and you can use a control stick. So I figure that should work perfectly. If that's what they do for the Rebrushed, I'm all in. I'm looking forward to playing some Epic Mickey because it's really cool. And I would like it was kind of neat. The artwork they had for like the cutscenes that were not really animated. I want to see fully animated cutscenes this time. So we'll find out. That's coming out from THQ Nordic. Alrighty. I think there's another game announcement. Okay, I'm going to mute the sound on this because it's just music. But what this is that we're looking at here is a Karate Kid beat-em-up game. And let's see, it's Game Mill Entertainment has made this announcement. But when you look at it, it looks a lot like the that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. But this is taking you through the stories of the movies. I don't know, maybe some Cobra Kai. And because you get to fight Johnny on his little dirt bike at one point. And you can see there's Mr. Miyagi. You play in his Daniel, but it's a group. And even Allie is getting in on the fight. I mean, holy cow. This looks fun. Now, there are some Cobra Kai games, and Philip actually bought one. That's coming September the 20th, by the way. There was a Cobra Kai game that was kind of fun. It was a beat 'em up style, but this, having that nice, fun, animated style that we saw like in Shredder's Revenge, I think everybody looked at Shredder's Revenge and thought, holy cow, people actually want this. And like, yeah, we like that kind of fun. A fun, cartoony beat 'em up? Sign me the heck up, especially mm-hmm. when you do something like The Karate Kid and go through the stories.
Yeah.
I am down with that. So I'm pretty excited. I will play the heck out of that, you know, and I need some friends to play with me. But yeah, so when I start playing, y'all, if y'all haven't found me on PlayStation, Glueband 77, come on, come friend me on PlayStation. Let's play something.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, definitely if we can get a multiplayer going on that, that's some of the most that I've fun that I've had with Turtles just getting my kids to play with me. And we zoomed through so many levels so quickly, but there's still a lot of achievements left that we need to get. And I just got the expansion with Usagi Yojimbo, mm-hmm. which I am excited to play.
I haven't finished all the expansion that where you've got a side story thing. I haven't played it in a long time, but when I got it, and my failure is actually up on the Neverland Official Gaming Channel, you can watch me fail at the side mission. I have not yet come back and played it and completed it because I want to get some friends with me to come play it instead of playing with random strangers. Because I've jumped in and I'd start up by myself, and then maybe somebody would pop in later on, but I've already burned off some of my lives, and because it's tough. But hey, now that you have it, we're going to coordinate. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do this here. Because, yeah, it is a lot of fun, but I haven't maxed out the levels on like, Usagi. Who else? I think there's alternate costumes for April. I think the alternate costumes for a lot of characters, but I think there's some other new characters other than Usagi. Wasn't there another new one that you could play as? I mean, the expansion, you can play as Shredder during the expansion thing, but I don't think you can bring him into, like, the main game like you can Usagi.
Well, and I think you've got Shredder's daughter.
Oh, yeah. Whatever her name was.
It's the other character. Yeah. Is it Karai? I
think
don't.
Karai. I think you might be correct on that. I forgot. Somebody's probably yelling at their phone.
I'm just excited to see
Usagi in the game.
I'm just excited to see Usagi in more media. I love that samurai.
Mm-hmm. And Netflix has a series of it. I think I watched one episode. I need to get back and watch some of that.
Which wasn't great.
Yeah, I know it wasn't quite pulling me in, but I was like, it's Usagi. I want to see what Usagi Yojimbo is like in for real. Speaking of some Ninja Turtle fun, though.
So, guys, thought that after beating Super Duper Fly, all was back to normal? Well, not quite. A new bunch of mysterious mutants has taken over the city, and somebody needs to do something about it. Are the Ninja Turtles up to the task? I know they've been training hard and are keen to try their new moves. Leo, Raph, Donnie, and Mikey will surely get their best. Be it facing the challenge on their own or together as a team. But will it be enough? A malaise is spreading through the city, and it's impossible to know who's a friend anymore.
So this is coming October 18th. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutants Unleashed. This is based around the newer movie and newer animated series coming very, very soon with it's the kind of new styles. I mean, they're really leaning heavy onto this. They, you know, get kids all involved in this new version of the Turtles. And I did enjoy the movie. I don't think it's as good as some previous efforts. And I'm not really that keen on the animation style. I don't really like that choppy animation with the weird drop frame rate thing. I've never really actually liked it, even if they've got good stories like those Spider-Man movies with the drop frame rate still are good stories. But I can sit through that weird animation, but it's kind of weird seeing a 3D version of that artwork in this, but still it's a Ninja Turtle game and I'll have fun playing it. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm down. And this is also available for pre-order. Actually, while I was at GameStop yesterday, I did see this is available to pre-order already now as well and coming in October. So, yeah, you make a Ninja Turtle game, I'll probably show up generally. So, but have you heard of Dubby?
Oh, yeah. I have not.
Well, Dubby.gg, use the discount code Neverland, or heck, use the link you'll find on neverlandpodcast.com. This is an energy drink that will not give you the jitters. That is perfect for a gamer. Use that link and get you a discount. They have all kinds of different flavors. It is a drink mix. You just add it to water. You can get your own water bottle there specifically for your W drinks. Get some energy and with vitamins, okay? You don't need all that caffeine. Believe me, caffeine will kill you. The Riddler told us so, remember? And then he killed the guy to prove it, right? So, all right. Okay, but now we need to move on.
Mama, now the gator got you in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here. Oh.
Get him, Mama. Oh. Get that gator. Ah.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Captain America.
Wilson. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for the invite, sir. I have to admit, I'm still getting used to the new look.
They said to lose the mustache or lose the election. You and I haven't always agreed in the past, but I want to make another run at making Captain America an official military position.
And if we disagree on how to manage this situation, then what happens?
Work with me, Sam. We'll show the world a better way forward.
Sir, your inner circle's been compromised.
Either you can't see that, or you don't want to.
What if it's a trap?
Global power is shifting. You're just a pawn.
You may be Captain America, but you're not Steve Rogers.
You're right.
I'm not.
Captain America, Brave New World. Red Hulk showing up at the end. Actually, in theaters on Valentine's Day this next year. That's a good date movie.
My wife may not agree.
And I don't know why anybody would have problems with this trailer. I thought it looked pretty cool. I could not share it to Facebook. It said there was violation of community standards. And I wonder, there was a previous trailer I couldn't share because they said, oh, well, people are complaining about this movie. And it was probably like a Black Panther movie because you're not allowed to complain if there's, you know, well, we won't get into it. But I don't see anything to complain about. This looks cool. So, but right now, currently on the Marvel Entertainment YouTube channel, you have 414,000 likes versus 142,000 dislikes. Why are they not liking it? The 142,000, I don't know what their problem is. And I see like the very first comment says, you're not Steve Rogers. You're right. I'm not. And they have a like a blue kind of grin face. And I don't know what they're trying to say. But somebody else said, you're not Steve Rogers. And they like the answer to that should be, and you're not Bruce Banner. I don't know, but you got Harrison Ford now as Thunderbolt Ross, and I like the little joke they make of, oh, yeah, I'm getting used to the new look, and it's supposed to be the shape of the mustache, but it's like, no, he's a different actor since the previous actor has passed away. But, you know, Harrison Ford, pretty cool for that role. So, but everything about this looks pretty awesome to me. I'm excited, so I'll bring it on. I'm looking forward to learning more about this movie as we, you know, we've got, it's a long way off. So we've got lots of time to find out more about the movie. I hope, though, that they don't take in a direction like somehow another that Sam Wilson, because I don't think Sam Wilson would say anything that's like, yeah, well, I'm not Steve Rogers. I'm better than him. If they put a line like that, it'll be so out of character that I hope they don't do something like that. I hope it's something that's like, no, but I will do things a different way. I will do them. There's stuff Steve and I agreed with, but I will do them like the Falcon. I can fly and I'm my own Captain America and I'm going to do it my way because I am the Captain America that we have now, you know, like stand up for himself, but don't let himself be compared with Steve because he's got to be his own captain. He's got to be his own man and he's got to still do the right thing. And I'm sure he learned plenty of stuff hanging around with Steve Rogers that he's going to like, OK, I'm going to take what I learned from him and I'm going to make it my own. And I want to see him fly. I love his suit. I love his Falcon mix over the Captain America suit. It looks so cool. I want to see him fly and fling that shield, man. I'm like, let's do it. Let's bring it. I'm excited.
Well, and I'm just excited to see a big red guy.
Yeah. I want to see what they do with Red Hulk. Cause I, you know, they haven't really shown who the villain is. We get to see, John, I always get his name, Giancarlo Esposito.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. He makes such a great villain. I don't know who he's supposed to be, but ooh, that get me excited when I'm seeing him show up. I'm like, ooh, oh, okay. Who is he? Well, and what is he up to?
I will say I had seen rumors, mind you, that Giancarlo Esposito was going to be Charles Xavier. But I think from watching this, that's not Charles Xavier.
Yeah, that ain't Charles Xavier.
By any means.
Yeah. I heard that he wanted to do it, but it's like, no, I don't see him as a Charles Xavier, but he makes a great villain.
No.
I don't know who you get for Charles Xavier these days.
There is speculation as to who he actually is, and it'd definitely be interesting if this is who he turns out to be, but I'm not going to spoil it here on this show, but not Charles Xavier by any means.
It would be interesting, because
unless you want me to spoil it.
Hasn't there been more than one Red Skull throughout the generations? I'm thinking,
he could
be like a new Red Skull, and I think that would be awesome. That'd be great.
But that's not who the speculation says.
I don't know.
That's not speculation. But there was when I first saw this, I had my subtitles on.
Yeah, I think
it tells you who was speaking.
It does, huh? Okay, well, I'm not turning subtitles on. I don't.
One of the voices. there was a voice. I don't remember seeing this actor show up in the trailer, but he speaks. And now, once I heard his voice. Yeah, I know who this actor is, and I know which character that actor is playing, thanks to that subtitle.
Maybe I guess if the information is readily out there, I'm going to IMDb. I'm going to IMDb. Let's go have a peeky peek here.
So should I share the actor's name?
Let's see. Oh, I think I've actually hit a button to play the trailer. Come on, I just want to see the page.
Let me see the page.
Let's see all who's in there. By director Julius Ona. After meeting with newly elected U.S. President Thaddeus Ross, Sam finds himself in the middle of an international incident. He must discover the reason behind a global plot before the true mastermind has the entire world seeing red.
Ooh. Red.
There's Giancarlo. Liv Tyler's back as Betty Ross. Ooh, I hope the leader is back then too. Tim Blake Nelson.
Yep. You see the name Samuel Stearns in the subtitle.
Oh, Mr. Finally.
Blue returns.
Finally, we're getting people.
After how many years?
Colby Lopez. That looks a lot like Seth Rollins to me. Is that his real name?
I don't know.
Is he really got a character in here? Because that's pretty cool. Oh, man. I feel like we're finally getting caught up with the promises we were made back in that Incredible Hulk movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh man. See, now I'm more excited.
It also looks like we are getting Sabra in this movie.
See, I'm not familiar with Sabra, so because I'm seeing the other character names.
Given current political climates, it's interesting that her character would be involved. So we might see some retconning going on there. But Sabra is a hero in Israel.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. So I'm guessing that might be this Ruth Bat Sheriff character played by Shira Haas. Mm-hmm. That's her then. Because I was thinking, well, that sounds like a very Jewish name. So very good. Very good.
But oddly enough, IMDb is not identifying Giancarlo Esposito's character. So you know, I'll say it right now. He's going to be Grand Moff Tarkin.
There you go.
I'm sorry, not Tarkin. Grand Moff. Now I'm blanking out. I should know this. My brain is fried.
Grand Admiral Thrawn?
No. Moff Gideon. Moff Gideon.
There.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Whew. Well, this show is already.
Or one of his clones will be the bad guy in this. This is where we get our crossover between Star Wars and the Marvel Universe as first predicted by Patton Oswalt in an episode of Parks and Rec.
Okay, we are back. Okay, so BAFTA released a list of they say it's a players poll of the most iconic video game characters of all time. Now, BAFTA is British Actors something, whatever, but it's British. So I'm not surprised at who they choose for what they think is the most iconic. But their top five, I mean, Pac-Man landed at 6, Link at 7, Master Chief at 8. Some of the biggest names.
Kratos at 9.
Yeah. So I mean, but who does land in the top five? Sackboy. Now, I love Sackboy. I think he's cute, but I've never played any of his game. Sonic, at least in number 4. Not bad. Agent 47 from the Hitman series got number 3. Mario took number 2. Now, you would say, Mario? I mean, he's the granddaddy of video games. Who in the world could beat up Mario? Would you believe Lara Croft?
It's not Jumpman.
Yeah, it's not Jumpman. Lara Croft. But now, Lara Croft,
I'm surprised.
A British character. And I would maybe say, okay, maybe Lara Croft should be on this list because mainly I have never really fully enjoyed a Tomb Raider game. I've never finished any of them. I've played at least 3 and 1 demo or 2 demos. And I always get frustrated and tired of it, and I never finish. The 3D platforming was really difficult back in the day, and I always had a hard time, and I hated working so hard to climb something and then falling all the way back to the beginning of it again. And I just said, forget it. And even when they tried to reboot Lara Croft here recently, I'd played the first new Tomb Raider game, and it was like a quick time event every time an enemy showed up, and I got sick of it and I took it back. So I've never really enjoyed Tomb Raider games, I will honestly say, but I will recognize Lara Croft because when it first came out, I mean, heck, people were trying to look for nude codes for Lara Croft. They were putting her on the cover of magazines that had nothing to do with video games because they were using her as a model. I mean, so I will recognize that, yes, she has meant something to the world. But at the same, I'm stating my case right here. At the same time, the people were looking to figure out a way to get all of her pixelatedness naked for some silly reason, because what do you think she was going to look like? She's polygons. People were trying to figure out how to save Aerith Gainsborough. I'm just going to say, not saying that just because I have 7 Aerith figures here on my desk and here on my video, I'm going to show once again, here's my Aerith figure. You know what? I need to, I'm going to do a thing in Skype, and I'm going to stop the screen share. So you will look back at us again. There we go. So yes, this was my vote. I entered this character, and you realize Aerith only got 1 vote, and it was me. Y'all broke my heart. So where were people voting? I set up a poll on the official group. By the way, if you haven't joined on Facebook, we have an official group and a fan page, but we have more fun on the group because it's easier for me to share stuff on the group. But Aerith got 1 vote and it was me. Come on. Where's my other Aerith fans? And as a funny story, my wife actually says, like, she doesn't know whether or not she should be jealous of a fictional character. And I said, you realize some of the major things that I like about Aerith is because she's so similar to you. If my wife was more of an extrovert instead of an introvert, they would almost in a lot of ways be identical. Although my wife has gone through depression and she's not as playful as she used to be, but she has that playful personality and that little bit of ornery sense of humor. But yet that innocence that's very much Aerith, as I see the same qualities in my wife. And that, I think, is what made me such a huge Aerith fan, because I have a hard time picking my favorite of anything. But I do have a number one favorite video game character, and it's definitely Aerith. And that's why I have 7 of these. I have statues. I have toys. And one of them's even, I even posted this to Facebook. I said, this is kind of Heather and I. Philip, for my birthday this year, got me, not NECA. I forgot, like the ones that did the figures where they had cloth, from a 70s Spider-Man figure. And I put him with an Aerith figure, and they're kind of hugging each other. They're just kind of sweet on each other. I said, that is Heather and I. Really, in toy form, as Spider-Man and an Aerith. That is Heather and I. Totally. But 1 vote. And it was me.
Well, I'm sorry that we all put a 6-foot long blade in your back with that vote or lack of voting. I'm sorry.
At least somebody is. Okay.
But perhaps we missed all of the important organs.
Maybe. But I do want to go through, and I've got a top 5, and we're actually, because we've run so long, I'll try to run through some of these. At least this wasn't Princess Peach. Nobody voted for Princess Peach. And how I counted some of these votes is if I initially put them on the list, there's no votes for them yet. I'm just putting them on the list because I thought somebody would. If somebody else put their name on the list, I'm like, okay, well, that's at least 1 vote because somebody cared enough about that character. I don't know that when they added their name to the list, they remembered to also then come back and put a check next to their character. That might have changed the vote. And I had tried to let people know you could vote more than 1 character. You did remember to click on your guy.
Mistake.
You did come back and click on him, I think I saw. for your character.
Yeah, I came back and clicked on. I came back and I clicked on some other characters as well.
Oh, yes. Well, let's just start at our number five position, which is a tie, a three-way tie, getting 4% of the total vote. Samus Aran from Metroid, Zelda, Princess Zelda, and Sonic the Hedgehog. I think there's a pretty good choice, of course. The Metroid series is still growing strong. Sonic the Hedgehog growing even stronger because of a pair of fantastic movies and a fantastic Knuckles series. I loved it all, and I'm looking forward to the next Sonic movie. I think it's made it more popular than ever. I haven't played a lot of Sonic games. I've mainly played the old Genesis games, but they're fun. I enjoy them. Mm-hmm. I've never been able to beat one, but I have fun playing with them. I'm just not good at platforming games.
Well, I mean, you're in good company. I haven't beat one myself, so... Yeah.
But they're fun. And I know there's Philip's nephew is really enjoys Sonic games. He really likes that. He loves Sonic and Spider-Man. And of course, Princess Zelda is, you know, actually getting her own game from on the Switch. Yeah. I don't think I had on the thing. There was a short trailer. So that's kind of maybe it's about time. I did see somebody comedically say on the chat or the comments section on Nintendo's thing for when they were revealing all these games. Maybe we should call this one The Legend of Link. Because everybody mistakenly calls Link under the name of Zelda when they don't know. So yeah. All right, the number four position, getting 6% of the total vote, Pac-Man, and it's a tie, Pac-Man and Luigi, two big icons. I expected Pac-Man could have been higher up on the list, but Pac-Man hasn't really, you know, he's got other games, but he hasn't really kept himself in the public zeitgeist here in a long time. But, you know, all of us 80s kids.
He did have his own cartoon.
He did. I wish they would put that on. Maybe does MeTV Toons have that? I would love to watch the Pac-Man cartoon again.
I would be surprised if they didn't. But not only did he have his own cartoon, he had his own breakfast cereal.
That's right.
You know you've made it when you have your own breakfast cereal.
And especially when everybody has a fever. Pac-Man fever driving me crazy. Heck yes, man. So, and of course, I appreciate the love that Luigi got. Good old Luigi. He needed some love. And I'm kind of sad that he gets treated like he's a coward. I'm like, no, he's just afraid because he's in a haunted mansion in all of his solo games. I mean, come on. At least he's standing up to them ghosts and sucking them down with a vacuum cleaner. I mean, come on. So I appreciate a little bit of Luigi love in the list.
He stood up to Bowser.
He does.
He stood up to Bowser in the movie.
That's right. So a little bit of Luigi love. I hope to see Luigi do some more in the next movie. I mean, it's the Super Mario Brothers, so it's got to be about Luigi too.
Exactly.
13%. Mm-hmm. My sister added this character, and he for a while was the initial leader. I was kind of, and I ended up putting a question in the group. I was like, okay, so I see this character is going up there, and I wondered, is it do you mainly like the classic game? Did this game guy become more popular because you liked playing his country games, or did you like playing with him on Mario Kart games? It's Donkey Kong at number three. So my sister was probably more thinking about along the lines of voting for some of her favorite games more than the characters. That's the way my sister's brain kind of works, and she loves Donkey Kong. So I think that's why she put him on the list. And 13% of the vote, number three spot, not too shabby. I've played a little bit of Donkey Kong Country. I've heard it's difficult, but
yeah,
I thought it was fun.
It is difficult, but you know, Donkey Kong is one of the premier arcade games.
Oh yeah.
Growing up, we had all of the Donkey Kong Country games, which really revolutionized the way that 3D graphics could look on the Super Nintendo system. I'm not going to talk about Donkey Kong Country. I think the less said about that, the better.
But, that difficult?
You know, overall, Donkey Kong, well, it's not difficult. It's just long.
Really?
And it's a slog to play through. Oh, yeah. You've got to go through every map at least five times. And it's the less said about it, the best.
But there are people who love it.
But, you know, Donkey Kong. Oh, yeah. And Donkey Kong is an iconic character. I mean, he even appeared, a version of him appeared in the very first episode of Futurama, you know, in a game called Monkey Fracas.
I think I remember
just watched
that.
The first episode of Futurama for the umpteenth time this week. But yeah, I don't think, you know. I can understand and I can see why Donkey Kong got such a high ranking here.
He's as iconic. I mean, he made his debut with Jumpman Mario. So there we go. Number two.
And I noticed that Pauline didn't make any of these.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody almost forgot about her until I think she's in a newer Mario game. She's like the mayor of a New York version.
Yep. Super Mario Odyssey.
I need to play that one. I don't do very well with 3D platforming games. Yeah. I don't do well with 3D platforming games, so I haven't really played it because I was terrible. Mario 64, I had a heck of a time trying to play that, but yeah, maybe one of these days I'm going to have to play this because it looks fun.
I got it as a Christmas gift. I played it. It took me a while, but I really loved that game. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's hard for me to get used to Mario's movement in Mario 64 because his legs are doing and he's barely getting around. And so I want to be able to stop on a dime like the original platforming. And he doesn't stop on a dime. He kind of, you know, so it's hard to dodge staying. And I have a heck of a time controlling Mario in that game. And I'd forgotten how much I had a hard time playing it until I was playing it again on my Switch. I'm like, ooh, man, this is why I never got good at this. Because, yeah, his little legs move a lot faster than he's moving. So, but anyways, the number two spot, and I'm pretty proud of this. Yeah, number two. This is my...
I was just going to say, enough about Mario.
Oh, yes. We're not quite there yet. Number two.
Exactly.
I'm proud of this because this is my number two favorite character, although I never find a good toy of Link. Oh, I already just said his name. With 17% of the total vote, Link from the Legend of Zelda series, the protagonist who never says a word. And so you put your own words in his head. So his personality is almost based on what you're feeling at the time. So you put a lot of your own personality into Link. I think that's what makes him. I've had a lot of adventures with that guy, and I've loved every one of them, mostly. Oh, yeah. There's some of them that I haven't enjoyed as much. Like the Wind Waker, I didn't love it as much. I know that's not a popular opinion. And Majora's Mask just frustrates me because I hate the repeating cycle, but you know, it's still cool. But yeah, I've had a lot of great adventures with Link. So he's my number two favorite of all time.
Oh yeah. Link is definitely up there for me. You know, one of my first gaming sessions all by myself without having to share any equipment with brothers or sisters was playing Ocarina of Time on my Nintendo 64. I bought it just for that reason. Yeah. And while I loved A Link to the Past, which was an absolutely fantastic game, Ocarina of Time just solidified it for me.
Yeah.
You know, I did enjoy Wind Waker. I enjoy Majora's Mask. I haven't gone back to play either of those in many years, but I absolutely love Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, the current version of Zelda, which, you know, takes the entire series in a completely different direction.
Yeah,
it's not a linear a linear game as it has been. You get it's open world and you get to, you know, go on whatever quest you choose to go on. And I guess that element has always been there in The Legend of Zelda, but it's more so in these last two games. So yeah. I'm really excited to see that Link made it up to the second position.
Yeah. Thing is, the last one of the games that I really completely, totally loved was Twilight Princess. That one was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the toy of Link I want, because I can get one that looks like Breath of the Wild where he's in the blue shirt, but I don't want that one because I'm one of them weirdos that didn't like Breath of the Wild. I'm weird, and I don't know that I want to play Tears of the Kingdom. And I would probably like it more if I did not like that my weapons kept breaking. I couldn't use the Master Sword on anybody but a version of Ganon. That bothered the heck out of me. And having all these multiple temples all over the place, a ridiculous amount. And I had to go through like six of them before I even got like one heart piece or one piece of stamina, which I greatly needed to get anywhere. I mean, that frustrated me. When I wanted to go through some more dungeons, but there was really only four and they were just a piece of Ganon. And I did go through it, and there's a lot of things I did enjoy. I loved the open world, but I really wanted to get in that classic green at some point, and I never found it. I know it's supposed to be in there somewhere. But it's there. Yeah, I know it's somewhere. But I did having my weapons break all the time, not getting to really get some use out of that Master Sword, because if you use it too often on something that wasn't Ganon, it would become worthless. That drove me nuts. I hated that. And it made me irritated enough that I was like, okay, I'm going to finish this game, but then I'm not touching it again, most likely. Although there was some DLC that I was like, oh, yeah. Do I want to play it? And I was like, no, I don't want to.
Well, the DLC was fun, and you know, I know a lot of people were frustrated by that aspect of the game. For me, that just gave me a reason to keep exploring, keep looking for something new. You know, while the weapons do break, it helps you learn how to play the game a little bit better. I'm always been the kind of person who I have to get good in order to play the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, that did a lot of training me. Okay, I can't just go by and hack and slash everything. I've got to learn how to use my resources. I need to learn how to, you know, cook things. I need to learn how to take care of my health. I've got to learn, you know, how to live in this world. Yeah. And, you know, for me, that's a lot of fun. But I totally and completely get where you're coming from, because mm-hmm. I know a lot of people had concerns with that aspect of the gameplay.
Especially when you're doing one of the, because I liked it getting like having, it's one of the greatest things on Twilight Princess and even throughout the series of trying to figure out how, what sort of pattern of things do I need to go to unlock that weak point on that final mm-hmm. boss in that dungeon to beat him. That was always fun. And I liked that we had some areas like that. But what's frustrating is like, okay, I've done all this effort and I figured out the pattern and now I'm coming to get him. Let me hit it, my sword. Oh no, and I don't have any weapons left. Now I can't even do anything. I can't even fight back. That, oh, and one other thing that would really help, and maybe they fix this in Tears of the Kingdom, when I figured out a recipe and I've made a food, let's have a recipe list that I can just go and choose that recipe and make it as long as I have the ingredients, instead of me trying to remember, okay, what did I put together when I made that before? But I figure, okay, well, that's easily fixable, and hopefully in the second game they've done that to where, like, once you've discovered a recipe, let's put it on a list so I can easily read, you know, and tell me if I've got all the materials I need to make it, you know. That's mm-hmm. that'd be an easy fix. To help me, please tell me they fixed and that.
You're they nodding. Did.
Yeah, good. Okay, maybe yep. I'll come
they
and play did, it.
And they also found ways to help you find and come across recipes.
Oh, see, that would help too. Finding, instead of trying to come up and go and scrounging the internet, like, I need a good meal. What can I put together? And the stuff I've seen where you get to kind of make your own items, that looks pretty cool. So, I mean, there's stuff about Tears of the Kingdom that I might end up liking, but I'm like, if my weapon breaks one more time. So that might be one of the primary reasons.
In and of itself may, that may not allow you, but being able to fuse weapons and use them in different ways, that is a lot of fun in Tears of the Kingdom. And that I like cool. the story behind it. It's like others, like Japanese games, it's got you need to go into it from a, you need to get yourself into the perspective to understand a story like that. But I really enjoyed it. And, you know, again, I completely understand where people come from who don't enjoy it.
Yeah. But that's probably why he's not number one. Because number one, and all right, y'all, we've mentioned him before, and I bet y'all knew who this was going to be. The granddaddy of video games.
It's the thing in Pong. It's a little ball that goes back and forth. Yeah, that's the main character.
It's the ball. And his name was Mario. Did you know that? Did you realize Mario was the Pong ball? No, okay. Yes, with 22% of the total vote, Mario took the number one spot. And that's what I would expect. I don't know. And Lara Croft, I didn't put her on the list on purpose because I wanted to see if somebody else added her. Nobody added Lara Croft to the list. So she might be an icon, but I know she's some people's favorite. I've seen some gamers that they have a big Lara Croft, like a classic style Lara Croft stuff in their room. I know she's got her fans, but I don't think that's the majority of us that are going to say that she's the most iconic. She probably should have been on the list, but nobody added her when I didn't. But I do have some honorable mentions. These are everybody tied for 3% of the vote, which means they got at least one vote. And that would be Nathan Drake, which I believe is your favorite. He'd be one of my top ones, too.
That was fine.
I love Nathan Drake. Definitely because
I love his attitude in the games. Yeah.
If you gave me a choice between Lara Croft and Nathan Drake, even though their games are similar, I'm going to go Nathan Drake every time because his games are more fun. And if I fall off of something, Nathan Drake, I might die, but I don't feel like I have to restart and climb everything all over again as bad. I didn't have nearly the difficult climbs. I just maybe had literal climbing up vines or something and not trying to do these weird hopscotch crazy junk like Lara Croft games. Claptrap got in there. I'm surprised he didn't get a little higher because, I mean, let's face it, he's the only recurring thing I think that I know of in the Borderlands. I haven't played more than a little bit of Borderlands 2. I don't remember if some of the characters repeated in that one, but, you know, he is the icon of the Borderlands games, and he is funny. And in this, I can't remember, I think it is a movie that's coming. We've got Jack Black as that, which is good idea, good casting, but I actually would like to get the original voice of Claptrap in there. He's a very funny character. Commander Keen, I had to look him up. He's doing like some old side-scrolling things. He was just a PC game. There's a series of Commander Keen games on the PC, which I had never heard of before. Someone else that I'm like, okay, maybe this character needs a few more than just his trilogy, but Commander Shepard from the Mass Effect series. I can get behind that. It's too bad they really can't do any more with that character. They've killed him. But yeah, there we go. And I tried to put a lot of people from Resident Evil on there, and my favorite Resident Evil character has been Leon Kennedy, and From what I'm hearing with Resident Evil 9, we're going to get another Leon Kennedy game. I'm excited for that idea because I like Leon. He's the one that I felt had more of. And I mean, I feel like they've leaned into it with the remakes of 4 and in 2. He's kind of got that almost that Boy Scoutish. He just how much he just wants to do the right thing and he wants to do his duty. And I like in 4 when he's come back, he's supposed to be a little older and he's tries to act like he's not that way. And then Ada's like, oh, no, you're still that same Leon. It's still in there where he's compelled to just do the right and responsible thing underneath it. But he's he was pretty cool in Resident Evil 2, but in Resident Evil 4, especially with this new reboot of him, he's just with some more government training to make him like a government special agent. He's just more awesome and more kick butt that it's like he's a lot more fun to play than he used to be. So. Yeah, so Leon Kennedy is one of my tops from the Resident Evil series. Resident Evil is one of my favorite game series, which is weird because I don't like horror movies, but I love some Resident Evil, mainly because if you're going to present me with some sort of horror monster, let me shoot it in the face and kill it. Because that's my way. You know, show me the ultimate evil and let me kill it. There you go. But yeah, and I'm glad you at least got your guy onto the honorable mention because my girl didn't even make it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to honorable mention. I was trying to avoid some characters that were they didn't originate from a video game, but maybe they're kind of iconic in the video games. Although this guy here, here's He-Man. I'm presenting to the camera. I'm going to switch to make sure I'm showing camera to the video.
Yep, He-Man,
he's had a few games, but he hasn't really had a great game. I'm waiting for that great He-Man game. This guy here has had some fun games. Leonardo the Turtle. These are actually some of my favorite figures that I have too. But Leonardo, I would say almost deserving over, or at least all of him and his brothers, have made some fantastic games, and I would almost want to consider them, but they didn't come from games. And of course, Batman here lately has had a series of fantastic games with the Arkham series. So of course, I'm going to honorable mention these three as being, and Spider-Man. I got to mention, I didn't pull Spider-Man figure onto my desk. Has had lately some great games, and I would call them kind of an icon of video games, but they don't originate from a video game, so I want to honorably mention them, but they're not, I didn't want to put them on the list. But my poor girl, Aerith, I seem to be the only one showing her some love today. That's okay. We know. We know you were the real hero. We know that in the original game, you brought the live stream to stop Meteor, and Sephiroth killed you because he knew you were going to stop him. Cloud is awesome, but
spoilers!
Aerith, well, yeah, if you haven't played a game that is now like 30-plus years old, I mean, and, you know, and with the third episode of the remake, don't know how different it may be. We've got a multiverse now. Uh-oh, I hope I didn't spoil that because I don't think you've played Rebirth yet, have you?
No, I'm still working my way through Remake.
And, of course, you have kids, so you're getting very little time on your PS5.
They never let me get to play anyway.
They never let you play. It's like, I want to play Final Fantasy, kids. Quit whining, Dad. Go to your room. You know, something like that. Okay. But all right, after 2 hours, we finally managed to wrap this. Because boy, I really needed to get this moving because we went a really long time. But I had so many trailers to talk about this week.
We did.
And I really wanted to. But I've got to get, where's my notes here? I got to make sure I thank everybody. And I've got to, of course, I got to remind you, visit NeverlandPodcast.com. Find the links. Dubby, I've got a big giant Dubby logo. That's how you click to go to Dubby. Also, don't forget about Podgagement. That is Daniel J. Lewis, award-winning, podcast award-winning. Daniel J. Lewis and Ed's he's got his app in there if you happen to have a podcast and you want to see your reviews and a lot of other tools. He's got so much cool stuff that I'm not even sure I'm using it to its full complement of every cool thing I can do with it. He is so clever with stuff, really. And I wish his old comedy podcast, The Ramen Noodle, I wish he was going to bring that back because he is pretty funny at telling some stories. So I missed that show. It was funny. Anyways, we'd also want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with my intro. And of course, don't forget to email podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter or X @NeverlandPcast. We are on Facebook @NeverlandPodcast. Join the group. Go ahead and like the fan page, but you're going to have more fun in the group. The more interaction going on over there. Join the Neverlanders by officially going to the website and choosing your Lost Boy or Pixie nickname. And why do we have pixies? I bet Eric still remembers.
We have pixies because girls don't get lost.
Because they're too clever.
You have or to something put them to that up. Effect.
Girls are too clever and they don't get lost. Because we all know we're a bunch of dumb apes. We're men. Anyway, not really. But yeah. Donate through Patreon, of course. And of course, if you don't want to donate through Patreon, Patreon will allow you to get the videos. I can't get videos up for the maybe I'll find a way. I don't know. I think, you know, Patreon makes it a lot easier for me to put up video, but you can become an exclusive member through Red Circle. You'll find all these right there in the show notes. Red Circle, you can get rid of all the ads, even the parts where I let the ad play, because YouTube, I used to not have that much trouble when I'd play a trailer. They wouldn't put an ad in front of it, but now they're putting ads in front of the trailers. So that's life. But anyway, I put ads purposely in the show that help me pay for the show. But you can help me pay for the show by becoming an exclusive member on Red Circle, and then you don't have to hear the ads. You'll get your own feed. But now, as we like to end every show, get lost.
Hi.
In an adventure. Yeah, I don't know if you can see me giving a countdown to... We were going to say that together. I never
got
that
way
coded.
Too late.
Yeah, and you just said bye, but you forgot. It's like, get lost in an adventure. Oh, well. We got lost in the show anyway. All right, but we'll see you next time.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is back. Now through September 3rd, score up to 70% off everything home. Plus, end summer with can't-miss surprise flash deals. Because at Wayfair, new season means new savings. Like up to 70% off rugs, up to 50% off bedroom furniture, up to 60% off kitchen essentials, and up to 50% off dining furniture. All with fast shipping right to your doorstep. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 3rd for up to 70% off.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.